Father, we are weary, we're hurting, and we're grieving, and we're exhausted. But Lord, we confess that our anchor holds within the veil. Regardless of what happens around us, Lord, we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. And we trust in the anchor which holds us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Bless you for being here today. Take your Bibles and open them to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. For the last 8 days, there have been two questions that have been swirling around this campus. Questions that are asked again and again and again. Questions that we are asking one another. The first question is, how are you? Sometimes it's a little different emphasis. How are you? How are you? That's a good question. It's a question that we need to continue asking one another. It's a question that I believe reflects the reality that things are not right in this world. And it's a question that reflects the caring nature of this community. When we ask one another, how are you? We mean it. It's real. The way the body of Christ has risen and cared for one another is a beautiful picture. In the midst of this darkness, in the midst of what we've experienced over the last days, for the body of Christ to rise up and put into practice Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it's a beautiful thing. Bear one another's burdens. That's what we've been doing. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Keep on asking one another, how are you? Let's commit ourselves in this community to asking one another, how are you? How are you? How are you? You ask me how I am. Faculty, let's ask each other how we are. Staff, let's ask each other how we are. Faculty, let's ask students, how are you? Students, let's ask faculty, how are you? We don't know much, but we know this. We're in this together. How are you? That's one question. There's another question that's been swirling around. And it's this question. Is there anything I can do? Sometimes we ask that question by default because we don't know what else to ask. But as human beings, we want to do something, don't we? We want to fix something. We want to make things right. We realize that we have been given the gift, the responsibility of reconciliation. We want to make things right. On Monday, we gathered here in this place, and Dr. Dockery called us to turn our eyes upward and forward, to look up, to look ahead. And sometimes it's hard to do that. But our responsibility is to look up and to look ahead. And as we think about that question, is there anything I can do? I believe there are a couple of things we can do. In fact, I think there are a couple of things that we should do. None of us dreamed, none of us requested what we've walked through in the last 8 days. But we now have a responsibility. And the responsibility that we have as Christians is to look up and to look forward and trust that God, in His grace, who has given us His Word and He's given us His Spirit and He's given us one another, we together will have the strength to put one foot in front of the next. It may not feel like it. There are times when all of us feel as though Can we do this? God will strengthen us to look up and look ahead. I think we have two responsibilities. Number one, during this time, in these days after this tragedy, let us remind ourselves continuously of the gospel. Let's remind ourselves regularly of the gospel. Wendell Berry says, "What I stand for is what I stand on." And what we stand on is the gospel. We don't stand on our feelings. We don't stand on our circumstances. We stand on the gospel. As God's people, we realize that the world around us shifts and it moves. But our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And because of that, we will not fear. We will stand on the gospel. It is the gospel that is the warp and woof of who we are as believers. We talk a lot about the Christian worldview, and it is the gospel in which our life and work is rooted here at Union University. The gospel does not answer for us every question that might pose itself, but the gospel does frame things for us. It's those three big questions in life. How did we get here? Creation. What went wrong? Fall. How are things made right? Redemption. Creation. Fall. Redemption. It is a three-part story, the story of redemption. And what you and I have felt in an acute way this week is the second part of the redemption story. We've asked ourselves again and again and again and again, what went wrong? We live in a fallen world. We've realized it. We have come face to face with it. And the gospel helps us realize that we live ultimately not in the realization that we are doomed, but we live with hope, realizing that Christ has redeemed all things. When we gathered here in chapel on Monday, Dr. Dockery read these words that he penned. Even though men and women are created in God's image, the entrance of sin into the world has had great and negative influences upon God's creation, especially humans created in God's image. As a result of sin, the image of God, though not lost, is severely tarnished and marred. The role of exercising dominion has been drastically limited by the effects of sin on humans and the course of nature. The ability to live in right relationship with God, with others, with nature, and with our own selves has been corrupted. Ultimately, all are spiritually dead and alienated from God. This does not mean that we are as bad as we can be, but rather that not any of us are as good as we could be. We are therefore unable to reflect properly the divine image and likeness. While we function as free moral agents with a free will, our decisions and actions are always affected by sin. In seeking to understand what has gone wrong with the world, we recognize that human choices are negatively influenced by sin. In regard to our relationship with God, we do not genuinely repent or turn to God without divine enablement, for we are by nature hostile to God. And now listen to this. Any articulation of the Christian worldview must wrestle with the problem of sin. The result of sin, what theologians call depravity, refers to the fact that all aspects of our being, including our thinking and emotions, are negatively influenced. People still do right and good things as viewed by society, but these thoughts and actions, no matter how noble or benevolent, fall short of God's glory. We can affirm that people choose to do good, but a Christian worldview helps us distinguish between the good and the ultimate good, which is the goal of pleasing God. And it's a Christian worldview. It's the gospel that helps us grieve with perspective and with patience. Do we grieve? Yes, we grieve. The scriptures do not command us not to grieve. The scriptures command us to grieve differently. Paul tells the Thessalonians that we grieve as those who have hope. It's different. Should the world see tears in our eyes? Yes. Should the world hear our voices shake? Yes. Should the world see our boats seeming to almost capsize? Yes. But here, O child of God, our anchor holds within the veil. And we will not understand it now. But like my grandmother used to sing, we will understand it by and by. This is a journey that we are on. The gospel does not eliminate or lessen the awful nature of the events of the last several days, but it is the gospel that gives us ultimate perspective on what we have experienced. Let us, and each of us will journey in different ways, but let us journey forward, grieving together, living together. Let's remind ourselves regularly of this thing called the gospel. Secondly, I think that we have a responsibility to examine our own hearts. Psalm 139 is where I want us to look. The last two verses of this scripture. David in this psalm is acknowledging God's knowledge of him. He says, you know when I sit down, you know when I rise, you know when I walk around, you know when I lie down, you know all about me. And after he has walked through all of this, look at what David says in the last two verses, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be in any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Notice, he's praying to God, but the focus is not on what other people are saying. The focus is not on what the media is doing. The focus is not on other people. The focus is on himself. It is a God-centered focus on self. He's not self-centered. It's a God-centered focus on self. Notice the me's and the my's. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I love the way Eugene Peterson says it in The Message. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me and test me and get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Hear the writer of Proverbs. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. This is Proverbs 4. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Listen to this. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. There's a whole lot that we can't do. But I would say to us this morning, let's do what we can do. Let's come before God and ask God to examine our hearts. And as we look up and as we look forward, let's move forward with a focus on our own hearts before God. One of the things that it's a big perk at Union University. When you come and speak in chapel, you get a bottle of water. We don't even charge Union chapel speakers for it. We give it to them. Sorry. Can I ask a very simple question? Why did water come out? Because I shook it. Now let me ask it this way. Why did water come out? It was what was inside. Union University is a people who are shaken. These are dark days. And when we as God's people are shaken, you know what comes out? What's in us? Let us realize that the nature of our words is a reflection of the condition of our hearts. Let us realize that what comes out, the nature of our words, reflects the condition of our hearts. The writer of Proverbs says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost being. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. In fact, if you have a copy, turn there. I want you to see this verse. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. There are a lot of things that are said throughout the scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testament, about the power of the tongue. But look at what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. He He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The words that come out of my mouth, the words that you speak, they have the power to give life or to take life away. Give life. We need life. Give life to one another. We have an opportunity before us. None of us would have dreamed or desired what has taken place. But we have an opportunity before us. Not just an opportunity, I believe we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to let our light shine. You know, lights shine best in the darkness, don't they? The darker it is, the more noticeable the light is. We would not have wanted this platform. We would have not built this platform. We would have not designed this platform for ourselves. But folks, this is our platform. And that is why Dr. Worley read, "You are the salt of the earth, you and me. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand." Where do they put it? On a stand. We're on a stand. Union University is on a stand. People put a light on a stand. Why? So that it gives light to all in the house. Let us be realistic, yes, about what has happened. Let us grieve what has happened. And let us also realize that we are on a stand. And let us let our lights shine before others so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. How are you? Is there anything I can do? Yeah. Remind me of the gospel. Speak to my heart every word. Tell me the story again. Give me the gospel. And in our own prayer closets, let's examine our own hearts. It doesn't do me any good, and it's impossible to try to examine Dr. Worley's heart. I need to focus on my heart. And I need to say, God, search me. A couple of weeks ago, we concluded chapel with a reading that we read together. Dr. Worley is going to come in just a minute and lead us in that reading together. And we're going to read it together, and we're going to confess and pray that God would continue giving us the great grace and the hope to move forward. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we will dismiss. Father, we are weak and we're frail. And if there's ever been a time that we have felt as though the power of the gospel rests in jars of clay, it is now. We are jars of clay. But Lord, we rest and we have confidence in the person and in the work of Christ. Oh God, I pray that you indeed might continue to watch over Union University. I pray, oh God, that you might continue to grace us with your presence, with your favor. And that, Lord, as we continue about this semester, that indeed we would accept the responsibility and the privilege that we have of being salt and light, of letting our lights shine so that others might indeed see our good works and glorify you who are in heaven. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.